Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man. Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle Teacher, but most importantly, a student, an ongoing, constant, never-ending student of the universe and its laws. What the hell does that mean? Ooh, it's been four, that's right, 4.5 decades of studying this. When I was younger, I would, you know, when you blow the candles out on your birthday cake and you make a wish, I always wished for the same two things. Number one, I wanted to live to my potential. I had no idea what that meant, what it looked like. I just said, I want to live to my potential. And the second thing I asked, I wanted to be happy. And this happiness journey has taken me all over the world and back more than once. In fact, let me just share something really quickly. This week I had someone, and this isn't the first time, I get it all the time, about that word happiness and how some people, I'm not going to say triggered, but some people are annoyed by that word or don't relate to that word. They have a problem with the word happy. And what the argument I always get is, I believe that it's joy, that you can feel joy, but this happiness thing is fleeting. Well, let me be very, very clear, on what I mean when I say happiness. When I'm talking about happiness, I'm focusing on talking about a vibration, a personal vibration, a personal energy. You can feel it in your body when you feel angry or frustrated or resentful or sad, or you can feel it. And so what I'm saying is this happiness thing is a vibration. Happiness is a personal, oh, you know what? Let me write that down. That's genius. Happiness is a personal vibration, a personal energy that never leaves you. It's just like the color, of your eyes. It never leaves. So it is a personal temperature gauge, if that makes any sense. Of course it does. So welcome to Reality Spirituality, and let me share with you my definition of happiness. My definition is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace and contentment regardless of what happens. That's it. An energy of peace, a personal energy of peace and contentment regardless of what happens. And regardless of what doesn't happen, because, you know, we're sitting up here waiting for something to happen, waiting for something to manifest. So happiness is the ability to be content, to feel content, to have an energy of contentment, regardless of what's going on in the external world. I believe I defined that maybe five different ways, saying the same thing. Happiness is a state of mind. Happiness is a vibration. It's an energy. It's a foundation. And when you practice, the good news is happiness is a practice skill. That's right. Contentment is a practice skill. Inner peace is a practice skill. And when you are committed and when you prioritize the practice, guess what? This state, this contentment becomes your identity. A vibration of contentment becomes who you are. So happiness is a state of mind. It's a state of mind you were born in, all of us, before the programming, before the conditioning. Happiness is reverting back to who you were when you were born, before all of the brainwashing, the conditioning, and the programming. There's nothing wrong with having money, titles, accomplishments, awards, but you know and I know, accomplishing goals, you know and I know, that sometimes it's just not satisfying. Well, it is satisfying for a moment or two. It is satisfying for a moment or two, but I'm talking about maintaining a vibration, maintaining the vibration of contentment, not just sometimes. And it has nothing to do with anything external happening. That's my spiel on happiness. And so let me just start off by saying, you know, as soon as you are born, you're given a name, a nationality, a religion, a race, a culture, and then you spend the rest of your life identifying with and defending that program, defending or identifying with this identity. And I'm here to tell you, you are more than your name, your nationality, your religion, your race, and your culture. You're more. Not a lot more, no. That's so terrible. What a terrible joke. No, you're more. And the practice is to pay attention, be mindful, practice staying aware of what entity you are identifying with. If you're identifying with that entity that tells all the doom and gloom stories, bad news, when you are identified with that, I promise you this, it is an energy of endless wanting something more. It is an energy of endless feeling dissatisfied. So the feeling, you are either vibrating an energy of satisfaction or dissatisfaction in any moment. And today's topic, I'm really, you know, I've covered this topic more than once, but it has come up this week at least three times. So I said, well, let me just revisit this topic of worrying. But before I do that, let me do a little bit, what do they call it, housekeeping. On a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? And again, when I say happiness, I'm talking about a vibration. And then what is your definition of happiness? I gave you mine, but let me give it again. The ability to vibrate an energy of peace, inner peace, and contentment, regardless of what happens. And are you as happy when you are faced with life's inevitable challenges? That's either a yes or a no. When I say happy, again, it is a vibration. So can other people hurt your feelings? Answer yes or no. Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame people for how you're feeling? Do you blame your circumstances for how you're feeling? And if you answered yes to any one of those, guess what? That's a program. That's a program, and that's what we talk about on this show, Program for Unhappiness. Before I go any further, the number to call in and speak with me live and get in the queue is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and press the number 1, and you can ask a question or make a comment. It's totally up to you. The other thing is, what else was I going to say? Oh, I am updating my YouTube channel. I'm going to be uploading some videos, short videos. I was actually asked to put more videos on your YouTube channel. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm just looking for help. I'm getting there. So if you feel inspired, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Being active on practicing getting more subscribers. Now, but you and I know that it's not about the numbers. It's not about the numbers, numbers in a bank account, numbers of likes, numbers of subscribers, numbers of any kind of numbers. Your vibration, your energy has nothing to do with anything external, including numbers. But I digress. One of the things I like to share before I get into today's topic of why people worry, and it is an ongoing topic, worry. When I ask people, do you worry? 98% of the population, 98% of the time, yes. This is what I get. Yes. It's normal. It's natural. Everybody worries. I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard that. And that's just not the truth. So here on Reality Spirituality, what we do is spit out the truth. It's not the truth that everybody worries, and it's not the truth that that's normal. But anyway, let me get back to the housekeeping first. So let's see what else. I have a list. Oh, this is what I wanted to do. This is what I wanted to say. If you've listened to the show before, you know that I usually bring this study up. And this is if you get tired of hearing it, oh well, what can I do? The five most common regrets of the dying. And the reason why I bring this study up, you can Google it. The reason why I bring this study up is because I think it is powerful as hell. You ask people that are dying, and it was a study done by a hospice nurse in Australia. Her name is Bronnie, spelled B-R-O-N-N-I-E, Ware, W-A-R-E. And she asked these people with one foot in the grave, days to live, weeks to live, they're facing the final curtain. The final curtain, and then at that moment, I mean, they know it's just a matter of time. In fact, what is it, 2023? In 2021, two of my close friends were both diagnosed separately, of course, and given 6 months to live. 6 months to live of people that I very friendly with. When I say very friendly with, hung out with, spent time, this is when I was living in Oregon, both of them, and both of my friends responded to this death sentence in different ways. One of them, the man, I called him Grizzly, was so angry, and he started to... He started to take his anger out on the people that are closest to him, which were his sister, me, his best friend of what, 30 years? And so the reaction to a sentence like that, you have six more months to live, is going to be different as different as the individual is. That's what I want to say. We are as different as our fingerprints. And then the woman that was given 6 months left to live, well, a gentleman was given 6 months left, he had prostate cancer. And my friend who was a woman that was given 6 months left to live, she had a brain cancer. Spending time with both of them before they died was not only so many lessons, but it was just more confirmation that the truth comes out. The truth comes out when your back is up against the wall. I can't, Well, I don't know. I can't even say that. So let me just share with you the five most common regrets of the dying. The first one is, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. The second regret of the dying, I wish I didn't work so hard. Oh, shout out to all my workaholics with your 12-hour, 16-hour work days. Not poo-pooing on it. You do what you're inspired to do. But this is one of the things that was mentioned. I wish I didn't work so hard. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And number five, I wish I would have been happier. So that's what yours truly does. That's what yours, the happiness thing is number one. And again, when I talk about happiness, it is an energy of contentment. All right, today's topic, woo-wee. The reason why I'm bringing this topic up is I've had this three times last week when people that I was speaking with one-on-one, or even, let's see, who else? I was on the phone with two people, and then the other person, It was just a random person in the bank. So here we go. When I ask people, and this is the question I often ask, and it gives me insight of who I'm talking to, and it just gives me an insight, because there's certain questions. I'm not one of these psychics that, like my best friend, he can just look in your eyes and then give you a full reading. Now, I've got to ask questions before I know a little bit about you. And the questions that I usually ask are always the same. Number one, do you worry? And the other one, this other question I love to ask people is, what makes you angry? What bothers you? What annoys you? Oh, if you really want to know somebody, ask them what makes them angry. Hoo-wee! That is just so much information with those questions. And the other thing I ask, especially if it's of the opposite sex, I usually ask, so people have been in relationships, whether long relationships, you know, a year, 2 years, 6 months, 5 years, marriages, those type of relationships. The other question I ask is, what would that person, you know, that you're not with anymore, that you broke up with, what would that person complain about you? What are their top three, or you can even say five biggest complaints that they have about you? Now, asking that question lets me know, number one, if the person is self-aware. Number two, if the person can repeat what somebody is complaining about them, if they can repeat it. Number three, if they're able just to be honest. What I sometimes get is the dance around the question. You know, when you talk to, well, when I talk to people and talk in their relationships, it's not really a lot of good things that were said about that person they broke up with. There's always some kind of complaints about the other person. No, I want to know what they complained about you. Anyway, I digress. I'm getting off the topic. The topic is, why do people worry? Thank you for keeping me back on the topic. Question, my dear audience, do you like suffering? Do you like suffering? It's either a yes or a no. And if you said no, then that means, let's see, hold on a second. Let me really formulate this statement. I look at worrying as suffering. I don't look at worrying, or I perceive worrying to be suffering. I don't think that it's a feel-good state. It's not attractive to me. It's no thank you. And so that's when I'm asking, so I'm setting it up, do you like suffering? Because if you do, scratch that. One of the things about this worrying, don't tell anybody, put your seatbelts on. Put your seatbelts on. And again, if you want to speak with me live, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Or if you're listening on Wisdom, you can just ask to join the conversation. Okay, you've heard about the addictions to drinking, to drugs, to food, to shopping, to gambling, you name it. What about the addiction? Have you ever heard about the addiction to worrying? And oh yes, I contend that it is an addiction. What? How dare you? How dare you? It is an addiction. And so with all addictions, there is something that you are getting out of, something that you are benefiting from this addiction, something that you are benefiting from, or you will, or something that the addiction is serving you in some way, whether it's to blank out all of the, in other words, get lost from all the thoughts in your head, or whether it's to take your focus off of something. But addictions are real, meaning I can't stop, and I believe there's a lot more than just worrying. These are the addictions that nobody talks about. What about the addiction to, here we go, the addiction to comparing, the addiction to complaining, the addiction to being negative, the addiction to living in the past, the addiction to worrying. There's an addiction to needing to be right. And before I go on, let me say that I am not pretending to have all the answers. What I am sharing with you is 45 years of study on this topic of happiness. And the good news is happiness is a practice skill. And what is the practice? What is the practice? Like any other skill, the more you commit to the practice, the better the results. So the question that you ask yourself, my dear audience, is are you ready to prioritize over everything else you've been prioritizing and making a commitment to this thing we call happiness? Again, it's an energy of contentment. That's what I'm talking about. And only you, my dear listener, can answer that. I mean, you already know yours truly is number one. Everything else is just thank you, okay, but this being at peace, having inner peace and feeling content in all moments is number one for me. And it is a practice. It is an ongoing practice. Don't think that I'm running over here, sailing, skipping through the tulips. Because if I'm claiming to be a happiness specialist, boy, oh, boy, I sure do get hit with a lot of challenges. Thanks a lot, universe, for nothing. Anywho, let me get back to the topic of worrying. So the first part of the practice, when I talk about happiness as a practice skill, the first part of the practice is to eliminate all, eventually, with patience, with time, is to eliminate all those programmed behaviors that have been proven to subtract from happiness. And guess what? Guess what? Where do you think worrying falls into place? Can you feel content, have inner peace, be happy? Where's your joy when you're worrying? That's the question. So there's no room for contentment and worry at the same time. You've got to choose one. But how do you get there? Thank you for asking. How do you get there? Number one, there are only two reasons why people worry. Only two reasons. The first one is, can you guess? The first one is, beep, 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 beep. The first one is It's a programming. You were programmed to worry. You were taught to worry. You learned how to worry. The good news is whatever you learned, you can unlearn. Whatever you learned, you can unlearn. Unless, of course, you need to worry and you're addicted to it and you don't want to give it up. Oops, did I say that out loud? Yes, I did. So we know that it's the program. Number two, all worrying is a lack of trust. Lack of trust in what, Rebecca? What if I don't believe in God? That's good. You don't have to. Lack of trust that whatever, let me just ask the audience. Can you look back and remember more than one, hopefully more than one, incident, time in your life where you didn't want to go through A, B, C, or D? You didn't want to experience it. I know I didn't want to experience the house, my family house, going to the handyman. Don't even get me started with medical issues. No, I don't want to experience that. No, I don't want to have to be in a legal battle for 5+ years. No, I don't want any of that. But with all of those challenges, can you look back and find out, not find out, and discover how you grew from that circumstance, how you grew, how you changed, how you broadened your perspective, how you were able to find the good in something that is quote-unquote bad. And I'm using air quotes because if you've listened to me, you know I don't use labels in my personal life, happy, sad, I don't use any labels. Life is an experience without judgment. All labels are a judgment. All judgments subtract from your happiness. But that's another show. Let's get back to worrying. Let's worry about our worrying. Oh, and that worrying can be so consuming, can't it? So backing up, when you're worrying, that means that you lack trust. And the good news is, my dear audience, is that everything, all of the work is done in the mirror. How many of you are rushing to the mirror? And I mean rushing to the mirror for solutions to your challenges, for answers to your challenges. For solutions and answers to calming all of it down. Going back to that person that wasn't programmed. Going back to that child that, when I say child, you know, when you were born, and I'm not talking about your inner child. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you were born, you lived in the present moment. There were no worries. You weren't comparing. You didn't have expectations. I'm talking about going to that state before the programming. So worrying, there's only two reasons. Number one, you're programmed. Number two, you lack trust. You can't trust and worry at the same time. It doesn't make sense. And again, one of the truths that I found out in this journey is that people hold on to their worry like they're holding on to their last dollar. If you are serious and want to stop worrying, accept the fact that you are a warrior. Scratch that, not warrior. Worrier. Worrier, warrior. Warrior, worrier. Wow, that's hard to say. That you are a worrier. And usually, especially after years and years and decades of worrying, coming and dissecting, coming up and cutting out that I'm visualizing having surgery to cut out all of your worrying to to just cut it out. The problem is that that worrying becomes part of your identity, and it's very, very challenging to let go. There is something about holding on to behavior that doesn't serve you, that isn't serving you in any way. And everybody that says that they worry, everybody knows that it's no good, that it doesn't do any good, that it doesn't do any good for the worrier or the person you're worried about. And in fact, here we go, seatbelt time again, because I get this, I hear this a lot. Worrying is not noble. And worrying does not mean that you care about someone else. And worrying does not mean that you love them. And worrying does not mean that you have this big, oh, I worry about your safety. Oh, I'm so worried about you. Stay safe. Gosh. Woo! And if buttons are being pushed right now, you know me, I'm one for pushing buttons. this show is controversial. It's not easy. It's not easy to swallow. And in fact, I like to say, especially I'm dating myself right now, but everybody knows I'm 67, but this Don Rickles, you either loved him or you hated him. Same kind of thing. This worrying about someone else that you claim to love, here we go, this may hurt, claim to love, all it really is a disguise, especially when you tell someone, oh, I'm worried about you. Call me when you get there. Text me when you get there. I'm going to be worried. It's just another way to control someone or manipulate them, wanting them to do something so you will feel better. Help me out so I don't worry. And let me ask you this question. When someone says that they're worried about you, if someone says that they're worried about you, how does that make you feel? Light or heavy? Now, if you believe or you're still programming, if you believe that worrying about you, it means that they care, I'm here to tell you that that's not the truth. Worrying just means that you know how to worry. And the crazy thing about this worrying is that the people that worry, if you ask them, oh, no, I know this doesn't do, worrying doesn't do any good. I know, but I can't help it. Everybody worries. You can't do anything about it. No, that's not true. It's not easy, and it takes practice, and it takes patience. But, yes, you can stop, eliminate all worrying, all of it. You cannot trust and worry at the same time. So the practice is gaining more, developing your trust. I have one son. I have all my eggs in one basket. One son, one boy, one, only one. And this kid, he's not a kid, and this kid travels and goes. Where did he go last week? Oh, Nashville. I don't say, call me, text me when you get there. No. Sometimes he calls, sometimes he texts, sometimes he doesn't. The practice is trusting. Trusting that whatever anyone that you claim to love is going through or is going through whatever they're going through with a purpose. It's part of their destiny. So back up to the question. If someone says that they're worried about you, how does that make you feel? It doesn't make me feel light at all. In fact, it's very annoying. Did I say that out loud? Yes, I did. You're worried about me? Well, thanks. That just lets me know that you're programmed. And that just lets me know that that is one of the ways that you convey that you like someone or you're concerned. So let me, and someone asked me this question. Here we go. And so then I'm hit with, well, what do you do say if, to someone if you're concerned? Well, that concerned energy, you can feel that energy too. That energy isn't light. So how about this? Instead of saying you're worried, how about just say, I'm curious. I'm curious to find out what you're doing, how you're doing, did you get there? It's a lighter vibration. And hopefully you can feel that lighter vibration to say, I'm curious about what you're doing, or I'm curious to find out if you made it to Timbuktu without any problems. How did I pull Timbuktu out of my ass? That's my show. I can say whatever I want. Anyway, back to the worrying. So again, two reasons why people worry. Number one, they're programmed. So it's not your fault. You were taught, and you were taught to worry. And number two, lack of trust. Especially you wonderful people that have children. If you do have a child and you are worried about them, know that what you're teaching them is now you're teaching them how to worry. You're teaching them how to worry. And let me get back to this, what I said earlier, you know, because I jump from topic to topic so quickly. Backing up to when you tell somebody that you're worried about them, what you're really saying is, I want you to change your behavior so I will feel better. I said that already. I needed to say that again. So I will feel better. You have to change so I will feel better. And you know, and I know, my dear audience, that you and you alone are responsible for all of your feelings. No one can make you feel a certain way. No one can make you feel up or down. No one can offend you unless you're programmed. A child 6 months, a year, 2 years, they're not going to be offended or bothered or have hurt feelings by anything that's said. And this is the other one. And if, I don't want to go there. That's a totally different topic. I've got to keep myself on track. It's the worrying topic. So back to what I read. Okay. Back to worrying. I'm asking you, how many of you are ready, are willing, are committed to giving up that behavior, that program behavior that is subtracting from your contentment? Are you ready to start today? How do you do it? Well, the first thing, I'm not pretending to do all of this myself. Heck no. I have the universe, I have a relationship with the ongoing relationship, conversations. I use the term universe. You can use the term God, source, energy, higher power, creator, all that there is. Use whatever term you like. It doesn't matter. Unless it does matter. So use whatever term you like. And see, isn't that interesting how some words can trigger you? Well, that's another program. If you're triggered by any word or any behavior from someone else or even yourself, know that that's another program. So the practice is to eliminate all the program behaviors that have been proven, that are proven to subtract from your contentment. Let's get back to, hold on a second, I'm looking for my notes. Where are they? Where are my notes? I just have them. Oh, here we go. Nope, that's not them. Oh, my goodness. Where's my secretary? Oh, here we go. Oh, Lord have mercy. Reality, spirituality, all in the moment. when I talk, let me share with you some more program behaviors that are subtracting from happiness besides the worrying. Taking anything personally. Taking anything, what anybody says, what anybody does, I don't care if they're pointing a finger and they're looking at you and they're calling your name, taking anything personally. This is an impersonal universe. There's nothing personal about it. The other behavior, program behavior that subtracts from happiness is having expectations. Let's get back to the worrying. Expecting someone to call and then they don't call, and that adds to the heaviness of your worry, correct? So along with the practice of letting go of worrying and trusting more, practice letting go of all your expectations. Practice letting go of all expectations. But let me get back to when I say I'm not alone here. I'm not doing this all by myself. Boy, I sure am glad I remembered that. So what do? I ask the universe, the questions that I ask the universe always start with the word how. How can I? And they always start with the word how, is because the universe is responsible for the how. How do I? How can I? So my quest is, this is what I do and what I would share. It's just another practice. Go outside, you know, feet on the ground, palms up, and ask, how can I practice trusting more? How do I practice trusting more? The more you trust, the less you worry. The more you practice trust, worrying is not even going to be, it's not even going to be a factor. It's not even going to, it's not going to even be a part of your life. I'm not saying this is easy work, but if I can do it, you can do it with practice and patience. So back up. So here we go. How about this one? This also comes together with this whole family of worrying. Being okay, let me ask you this. How many of you, and again, if you want to speak with me live, just call in area code 646-564-9619, area code 646-564-9619, and just press the number 1, and if you're on Wisdom, you can just ask to join the conversation. One of the program behaviors that subtract from your happiness is not being able to be okay with uncertainty. What? What did she say? She said one of the program behaviors that subtracts from your happiness is not being able to be okay, to be at peace, to be at peace with uncertainty. Because isn't worry all it is uncertainty? Yes, I'm going to answer my own question. Yes, all worry is just uncertainty, being in that state of uncertainty. When you practice trust, and I mean blind trust, blind, the strongest trust ever, when you practice that, there is no room to worry. It's impossible to worry. And it also aids with that being okay with uncertainty. And I'm talking about, because all worrying is in the future. You already know that our present moment is the only moment that we have. People live in the past. People live in the future. All worrying is the future. So that means you're living in the future. You're focused in the future. And when you are, you know that you're robbing yourself of the present moment. The second thing is being okay with uncertainty. Oh, that's a real tough one. And why is it tough? Let me back up a little bit. Why is it so difficult to be okay with not knowing about tomorrow? It all comes down. And why is it so difficult to let go of worrying, even though we all know that it doesn't do any good? It doesn't do any good for you. It doesn't do any good for the person you're worried about. We all know that it's a cancer. Spreading cancer is worrying. So back up. What is the cause, besides the programming? What is it? So we're programmed to worry. You were taught to worry, mother, father, whoever. You were taught to worry, and then you're getting really good at it. What skill are you good at? Oh, I'm great at worrying. In fact, one woman I remember, she wrote, she said she's a worrying warrior. Yes, a worrying warrior. Anyway. There's no contentment there when you are a worrying warrior. But back up. So it is the ego. I call it the ego, that entity that is always telling me a story that's not good news, that, you know, negative thoughts, negative stories. That entity, that is continually to bring and to keep this worrying present. Guess what? The ego, lower consciousness, that critical mind, whatever you want to call it whatever you want. I am not one to stick to a name or a title or a label at all. Fuels. Your ego is fueled by worry. Your ego is fed when you worry. Fed. You're feeding your ego. And have you ever heard that worrying is an ego problem? Yes. All of the despair, all of the sadness, all of it comes from that other entity that isn't pure consciousness, that isn't spirit. When I feel or have any type of worry or number one, I already said, thank you, ego. In other words, I know what the ego is trying to make me do, this is another carrot. You have to worry about your health, don't you? No, you don't. You can take care of your health, but there's no reason to worry about it. When I feel anything other than contentment and or inner peace, guess what? I know for sure. I'm forgetting. I'm having amnesia. I'm forgetting who I am. I'm forgetting that I am divine spirit having a human experience. I'm forgetting. And my ego wants me to forget all that. My ego wants me to identify with it. It is the ego that causes the worry. It is the ego that needs to worry. It is the ego that is fueled by worry. Again, the two reasons why people worry, number one is the programming. Number two, lack of trust. The solution is, how do I practice having more trust? And then ask yourself, are you even willing to, are you even committed to getting rid of this one program behavior that you know isn't good for you or anyone else around you? You already know that, unless you still believe that worrying means that you care. But it doesn't. Sorry to yell at you. But it doesn't. Worrying does not mean that you care. It means you know how to worry. I said that more than once. You know, the other thing I just want to share, because I wrote it down and I forgot it last week. People are asking me, they're emailing me, what are my favorite authors? Who are my teachers? And before I close the show today, in case, unless somebody wants to come up and chat, or call in. I have a few people in the queue, and just press the number one. Press the number one if you want to come on live. My foundational author is Dr. David Hawkins, H-A-W-K-I-N-S, and there's a lot of videos on YouTube. He wrote Power versus Force, The Eye of the Eye, several books. He's a great, great, great teacher. The other one is Eckhart Tolle, of course, Deepak. As far as my authors that I consider foundational. Who else? Guy Finley, Ernest Holmes. Let's see, what was that other one? That's all I can think of right now. But yeah, David Hawkins is my number one. Oh, and you know what else? The other guy I just discovered. Here we go. This is of course Abraham too. Abraham Esther Hicks. Oh, the other guy I just discovered maybe about 2 months ago. His name is he channels an entity called Barsha or Basha, B-A-S-H-A. Yeah, I think it's Basha. And his name is Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L. You can Google him on YouTube, or you can search for him on YouTube. He's a channeler, and he's really good, really deep. So that hopefully will answer those questions. I get that a lot. Who do you read? What do you read? Okay, summing everything up, if there's any questions or any comments, you're welcome to join. Wisdom people, you're welcome to join or not. Let me know before I close it out. You know, the other thing about taking things personally, I just want to add, there are a lot of people that contact me, and some people say they, you know, want to interview me, or they don't. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't. This taking anything personally or counting on somebody's promise or somebody's, yeah, I'll get back to you, what if they don't? You know, and I know, whatever is happening, it's happening in the moment to serve. It's serving me. Whatever is happening with you is serving you. And there is nothing that goes undone in the universe. Nothing. So if it's happening, it's supposed to happen. And if it's not happening, it's not supposed to happen. Simple. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? Do you know that? Because if you do, you're going to feel a lot more peace on the journey. All right, well, that's the end of today's show, and we're wrapping it up. There's only two reasons why people worry. Number one, they're programmed. Number two, they don't a lack of trust. Number three, there isn't a number three, but know that worrying about someone and letting somebody know that you're worrying does not mean that you care. Boop, 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 boop. I ran over a few toes on that one. Well, that's the end of today's show. Thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality, which is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington, LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. My YouTube channel is a work in progress. I'm going to be adding I'm going to be adding videos soon. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. That was published in 2014. And then I've done a few chapters in a couple of collaborative books, but who cares? And then the book that I'm writing now is called Programmed for Unhappiness. And I plan on having that, thank you, universe. Well, I plan on having it published within the next 2 to 3 months at the latest. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe, your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself by accepting accepting you in every moment. Be your own best friend. And remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality with yours truly, happiness, global happiness specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. And remember, happiness is a practice skill. And it depends on what you practice in every single moment that is going to determine how much contentment and how much inner peace you have. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby. Good night.